Hey friend, welcome to day one of the Hormone Real Talk Bootcamp. I'm literally so stoked that you are here. And the first thing that I want you to do really quickly before we get into all the goodness is I want you to pause this episode, or if you're a big multitasker, do it while you're listening, but I want you to share this with three or more of your friends and invite them to join us live right now in this bootcamp so that they can learn exactly how to understand their hormones better, how to understand what is happening in their body throughout the month so that they can be empowered and not only prevent hormone symptoms now, but prevent health issues long-term. That's what we're here for, is the big picture. And this bootcamp is going to help you so much and also help your friends. So if you truly are the BFF that you think you are, you need to invite them. And I'm super excited that every day of this challenge, you are going to get to hear directly from one of my Nourish Your Hormone students or clients and hear the experience that they have had in really making these changes and how it has worked for them. So you've heard me talk about it, but you get to hear them talk about it so that you can get even more encouraged and know that this is possible for you too. Let's dive in.
Okay, so there are two really big things that stick out to me from my time working with Leisha. The first is that in the first month of working with her, the breakouts that I used to get around my cycle cleared up completely after making just some small lifestyle changes that had a big impact on balancing my hormones. And then the second thing that sticks out to me is I just had baby number four, and it was the most balanced postpartum that I've had of all of my pregnancies and postpartums. And I really attribute that to the changes that I've made through her program and just the easy steps that have added up to make a big impact for stabilizing my mood and my blood sugar and just feeling a lot more balanced in my whole body.
Welcome to the Happily Hormonal Podcast. Now, if you're a little iffy on whether or not the word hormonal is a good one, then you are in the right place. If you would love to have lasting energy, balanced hormones, and better periods, and you find yourself spending all of your precious time after the kids go to bed researching what to eat, what supplements to take, how to exercise, and you feel overwhelmed by all the info out there, then I've got you. I'm Leisha Drew, registered nurse and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, plus mama of three little ones, and I know that hormone balance doesn't have to be hard. I'll help you balance your hormones without perfection with simple steps that actually work for busy mamas so you can feel good inside and out and be present, joyful, and confident in the beautiful life you're already living. If you're in for happy hormones, taking messy action, and seeing results without perfection, then put your hair in that mom bun, grab your toddler the seventh snack of the day, and grab yourself a bone broth hot chocolate so we can do this. Okay, so since this is bootcamp day one, I want to make sure that you know exactly how this works so that you can get the most out of it every single day, the most bang for your buck in the shortest amount of time, essentially, because I know that that's what I would be here for, and that is probably what you are here for as well. So every day on the podcast, you are going to get a training, and if you sign up in the show notes for emails for this challenge, you will also get a daily quick Cliff Notes version of what I talked about for the day so that you can quickly skim that and recap what you learned, as well as you'll be getting a specific action step and quick takeaway for the day. And you have access this week to respond to those emails with your homework so that I can give you feedback personally every single day. Plus, on Friday this week at noon central, we are going to have a live Zoom call where I will be answering every single question you have. We'll be going over your homework together, and you can get direct coaching from me on Friday. So you can go to bit.ly/hormonerealtalk or grab the link in the show notes and make sure you are signed up for those emails so you can get the full benefit and access to that coaching call. Now it's time to get comfy because I'm going to tell you all the things that you should have learned way before now about your hormones. So the first thing that I would want you to know as a young woman, as someone who, you know, is in middle school learning about your hormones, or at the very least, the first time you go to your OB doctor, your gynecologist, is how hormones work throughout your cycle. And I can bet you a pretty penny that this is not something that you learned. This is definitely not something that I learned until much later. I learned some of these things in nursing school and they just kind of went over my head. It didn't seem like it really mattered. It didn't seem like it really applied to me. But let me tell you, this does matter. So I'm going to go through how hormones work throughout your cycle and give you some of the information that may not seem completely applicable first. So hang in there with me because the next part is going to be me telling you how this actually affects you and how the symptoms that you're seeing in different parts of your cycle will actually tell you what's going on in your body, even without testing for the most part. So at the beginning of your cycle, which is day one of your period, the first day you start bleeding, your estrogen and your progesterone are going to be at their lowest levels. Now, let's just do a quick basic overview of what these hormones even are. So estrogen is the first sex hormone we'll talk about, and one of the main ones for women, estrogen and progesterone are the two we're really going to talk about today. And estrogen is primarily produced in your ovaries, although your adrenal glands also produce a small amount of estrogen, and fat cells, specifically belly fat cells, but fat cells in general, can also produce small amounts of estrogen. So sometimes estrogen dominance can cause you to be overweight, or if you are already overweight, having those excess fat cells can essentially just cause a cycle of estrogen dominance and then fat gain and then estrogen dominance. And this is a cycle that you definitely can get out of, but it's helpful to know that it's possibly a cause for you. So one of the main functions of estrogen in the body is during puberty, and estrogen increasing during puberty helps develop secondary sex characteristics like breasts and curves. And then as we move forward and start to cycle, estrogen is a huge player in the menstrual cycle. And we'll talk about where it rises and falls, but estrogen specifically helps to trigger ovulation. It thickens the lining of your uterus in that first half of your cycle to prepare your body to be able to hold a pregnancy. And it also thins your cervical mucus so that it is easier for sperm to get through and to fertilize the egg. And so estrogen also can create lubrication in the vagina and make things a lot more comfortable. So a lot of times, you know, you can see those opposite symptoms if estrogen is low during menopause. Progesterone is the second hormone that is really, really important in our monthly cycle. And progesterone is going to primarily be functioning in the second half of your cycle, and it is going to be created by a little gland called the corpus luteum, which I will tell you about in just a minute. And progesterone is going to not only increase your metabolism, support your thyroid, but it is the pregnancy hormone. And so progesterone will help keep a pregnancy implanted essentially and keep your uterine lining thick and healthy during the second half of your cycle so that conception can occur, and it will help continue that pregnancy if you are pregnant. But progesterone is not just a pregnancy hormone, and so even if you are not trying to get pregnant, you need progesterone not only to keep that uterine lining healthy and to support your metabolism and your thyroid, but also to keep estrogen in check. Because when a progesterone is produced in that second half of your cycle, it helps push out the estrogen that was created in the first half and keep your body regulated. So let's talk about how that actually works in a cycle and what that looks like. So at the beginning of your cycle, day one of your bleeding, you are going to have the lowest levels of estrogen and progesterone in your body. And when those levels of estrogen and progesterone drop off a couple days before your period starts, that's actually what triggers the bleed to start in the first place. So those levels stay low for the first couple days of your cycle as you are bleeding, and then estrogen starts to rise. And estrogen starts to rise a little bit and then pretty dramatically throughout that first week and a half, or about the first 2 weeks of your cycle, but the week and a half essentially after you are bleeding. And when estrogen starts to rise, it does several things. It triggers the hormones that are needed for ovulation, which are follicle stimulating hormone FSH and luteinizing hormone LH. And so it triggers those hormones to start doing their thing. And so FSH will start to mature an egg in the ovary, and LH is going to trigger ovulation to actually occur. And when you see estrogen rising from day about 5 or 6 until around day 14 in a normal perfect cycle, then we see some cervical fluid occur, because estrogen does create more of that watery cervical fluid. And so when estrogen is rising and triggers LH, that is going to be at the estrogen peak, which is usually the day before ovulation occurs. And then once that estrogen peaks, it's going to drop off really sharply, and ovulation will occur. You have like one day or about 12 to 24 hours in the middle of your cycle where estrogen and progesterone are both low, because it takes about 12 to 24 hours after the egg is released for progesterone to start to be produced. And so progesterone is actually produced from the follicle that was holding the egg. It's like essentially a little capsule that was holding the egg, and that little capsule releases the egg and then collapses in your ovary and becomes a temporary organ called the corpus luteum that actually produces progesterone for the rest of your cycle, as well as if you become pregnant that cycle, it will continue to produce progesterone for your body to keep you pregnant until your placenta is formed enough to take that over. So this corpus luteum is one of the coolest organs ever, essentially. I think it's really one of the coolest things. And if you don't become pregnant, that corpus luteum essentially just shrinks and goes away, and your hormones will drop off at the end of your cycle again and cause that bleed to start all over. Okay, so that brings us to, why is this important for you? Why do you care about this? So if this is happening in your body every single month, and hopefully it is, then it's really important to understand how that actually affects us. And when estrogen is higher, you're going to feel a different way than when progesterone is higher. So I'm going to kind of walk you through a little bit of troubleshooting for symptoms you might be having at different phases of your cycle, and give you some ideas of when those typically show up and what could be going on with your hormones. Of course, this is going to be not medical advice, and this is just kind of a generalized statement of what I see often, and everyone is a little bit different. So this is just a little bit of a guide for you. So a lot of times we notice most hormone symptoms around your period time, but I'm going to talk about ovulation first. So in a healthy ovulation, what we would typically see is a range of around 3 to 5 days of cervical fluid showing up after your period ends. And what that looks like is essentially, a lot of women will call it discharge. It's healthy, clean discharge. It doesn't mean you have a bacterial infection or a yeast infection. It just truly is there to help support your fertility and help your egg get fertilized if that is happening for you this month. And so that cervical mucus will essentially start out as a little bit of sticky or dry looking cervical fluid on your underwear typically, and you may have like 1 to 2 days of that, and then move to a little bit more water content, which would be more of a creamy consistency of cervical fluid, and then you would go to a more wet or egg white consistency of cervical fluid, hopefully, and this is the most fertile quality cervical fluid. And typically you would see, like I said, about 3 to 5 days of that coming up to ovulation, and then one day it would just completely drop off, you have none, and that typically means that ovulation has occurred. So knowing that when you have cervical mucus is the most fertile time in your cycle is really important if you are wanting to get pregnant or wanting to prevent pregnancy. Now, symptoms around ovulation that are normal is essentially having a little bit of a higher libido, some higher maybe creative energy, social energy, maybe even physical energy. And sometimes women will have a little bit of like twinge or cramping around ovulation, and a little bit of that is fine and normal, but anything drastic is not. Someone will feel a little bit more of like a one sharp little pain when ovulation actually occurs, because essentially that follicle that is holding your egg grows to a pretty good size and then ruptures. And so it is a cyst that is rupturing, but it is not an abnormal cyst that is rupturing, essentially. So there might be a tiny bit of pain associated with that, or if there's a little bit of inflammation in the ovaries, there could be a little bit of kind of like an achy or crampy kind of pain for a few hours around ovulation. And to some extent, that is normal, but if it becomes really painful or uncomfortable, sometimes that is a sign that there's too much estrogen, or the estrogen is not moving out really well, or not balanced by progesterone very well. So it's not something to just accept if it is bothering you. Now, in abnormal ovulation, or when there's a problem, we can see a lot of other symptoms around ovulation, and those might be like PMS symptoms. It might be a lot of cramping. It might be spotting. It could be, when I say PMS symptoms, I mean mood symptoms and or body symptoms. So it could be breast tenderness. It could be like an achy, crampy feeling that lasts for more than a couple of hours, or even having like brain fog, fatigue, those things around ovulation. Typically when I see those things, it is a sign of estrogen not moving out of the body well, or the body essentially just having more estrogen than it can handle. And those symptoms are often triggered by that estrogen dominance. Now, to be clear, estrogen is supposed to be dominant at that phase in the cycle, but it's an excess amount of estrogen. And sometimes it can be caused by histamine as well. And so if there are gut issues causing a histamine reaction in the body, then sometimes we can see more symptoms around ovulation. Okay, and then let's talk about symptoms in the second half of your cycle. Now, this can truly be a range of a couple of weeks, but when I typically see symptoms the most for women is those last like 4 or 5 days before your period, and then the first however many days of your period when you're bleeding. Usually the first 3 to 4 would be the worst symptoms. Now, when I see symptoms in this second half of the cycle, there are several different causes that can be associated with PMS symptoms. So mood changes, breast tenderness, cramping before or during the period, and heavy bleeding, heavy pain during the period as well, or even fatigue, brain fog, and of course, mood changes, irritability, anger, anxiety, any of those things prior to your period. They are not going to all be caused by the exact same thing. And so this is where it's really helpful to go more in depth. But what I find is that there's either an issue with how your body is making hormones or how your body is detoxifying hormones. And so there's typically an imbalance in estrogen and progesterone. And what it looks like a lot of times is that because of stress in your body, because your body is not getting the signals of safety, you are not making enough progesterone to counteract the estrogen and to give you all of the positive effects of progesterone in your cycle. And that is where we run into a lot of these symptoms. And so when you are looking at being able to manage these symptoms, it's really important that your body has the ingredients to be able to make these hormones well. So make the right amount of estrogen and the right amount of progesterone, which means you have to be ovulating well, and to be able to detoxify these hormones really well too. And that's where we look at liver function. We make sure that the liver is able to actually do what it needs to do, because it's not spending all of its time balancing your blood sugar. And when we go to the doctor's office for these problems, we get a band-aid solution most of the time, and that is birth control. And let me just tell you really quickly how birth control works and why it doesn't actually fix a thing, other than maybe it does help with symptoms, but it doesn't help with any of these problems long term. Because if you are having an issue with making or detoxing hormones, that is something that we can work on and fix. And that's exactly what I teach you to do in Nourish Your Hormones, so that you can have long term change here instead of just slapping a band-aid on for 10 to 20 years and hoping that when you take it off, nothing's amiss underneath, right? So birth control works in a few different ways, but I'm going to talk about the most common birth control, which is either the pill or like an IUD. And both of those things are going to be a very low dose of hormones, probably estrogen and progesterone, but sometimes just progestin, which is a synthetic form of progesterone. When you are getting progestin, you are not going to get the metabolism boost and the thyroid boost and the bonus effects for your body that you get with real progesterone. But what you do get is a low level of that hormone that essentially tells your body that you do not need to ovulate. And when you have that low level of either estrogen and progesterone or just progesterone in your body, there are several different ways that that works. It prevents you from ovulating, or that it's supposed to work. It can prevent you from ovulating. It can thicken your cervical mucus so that sperm cannot get through to fertilize the egg. And it can also thin the uterine lining so that if you happen to ovulate and you happen to get that egg fertilized, those first two methods fail, then the egg will not be able to implant. Now, with that whole picture in mind, how it works for reducing symptoms in your cycle is that essentially you don't have a cycle. It just turns off that whole system. You're not going to be making estrogen. You're not going to be making progesterone. And so you're not going to have that issue with balancing those hormones throughout your cycle. But your body is created to be able to do that. And so if you are not able to do that well, it is a sign that your body needs support, not a sign that you need to turn off that system. Because at some point you're going to want to turn it back on. And just, you know, leaving a car out in the field for years and years and then hoping that it will restart in a beautiful, perfect way and you can just hop right in and drive with no problems, kind of not realistic. And that's essentially what we're doing when we're covering up hormone symptoms with birth control. So we're going to really look at the why behind why those hormones would be imbalanced tomorrow and talk about the in-depth of why stress hormones affect your sex hormones so much and how we can reduce that stress in your body to make that long-term change in your hormones and in the way you make them and the way you detox them so that you don't have to look for these band-aid solutions and you can actually feel better. So don't forget to sign up for those emails, get the action steps from me for today, and I will see you tomorrow. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with me today. If you had as much fun with this episode as I did, make sure to share it with one or three of your besties and leave a rating and review so that more and more women can find this podcast and have happy hormones. And when you're ready to have pain-free periods, no more PMS, and energy and capacity to live the life you really want to live, and it's time to join us in Nourish Your Hormones. I can't wait to see you in there and help you have balanced hormones all month long. See you next time.